Chapter 3 Gates. All walls with no doors or gates is a hopeless prison. There must be gates in the walls of the city to give access and egress to its citizens and visitors. The gates must be as strong as the walls to foil any attempt of forced entry by an enemy. Security and protection are the principal reasons to have walls and gates. Nehemiah became deeply concerned when he learned that the great gates of Jerusalem were burned with fire and utterly useless. Obviously, a city without walls or gates is not going to be defended against wandering bands of bandits, thieves, or spiteful marauders from neighboring nations who are enemies. Enemies would love to destroy the primitive altar and temple structure that had just been raised out of the rubble. Nehemiah desired gates that would be tightly closed every Sabbath day to keep Jerusalem free from desecration by any commercial activity. The walls and gates he envisioned would not allow unwanted merchants to traffic in the city on their holy day. When the city is walled, there must be gates to control who and what and when people enter or leave its limits. Gates determine who and what remains inside and who and what is to be locked outside. In other words, gates control all traffic in the city. Only the right people and the right goods in the right time are permitted to pass through the gates. The gates of walled cities also establish the time of day when traffic could travel freely into or out from the city. At nightfall, the city gates were always shut for safety, lest some thief or spy should enter under the cloak of darkness. Also on every Sabbath and every holy feast day, those solid gates would tightly close against even the most tempting appeal by traveling merchants. Nehemiah writes in chapter 13 and verse 19, "It came to pass when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye at the gates that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day." Gates are a place of battle. In the time when Deborah arose to defend Israel, there was war in the gates. In the book of Judges, chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, it is recorded that in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel, until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. When an enemy made war against a walled city, the gates of that city were always the main focus of an enemy's attack. The very purpose and structure of the city gates required that they be movable. Therefore, they were considerably weaker than the great stone walls in which they are anchored. If the enemy forces could breach the gates, then the much more difficult task of breaching the walls would not have to be done, and the city would be conquered. That made the gates the principal focal point of battle within and without. There is a beautiful allegory written by John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress. The book is called Holy War. He tells about the crucial war waged between King Emmanuel and the forces of Satan, fought over the city of man's soul. In that allegory, he describes how the focus of the battles of that war were aimed at the gates of the five senses. It is a fact that when a soul serves the world and the devil with all the pleasures and delights they offer, King Emmanuel come and attack that soul at the gates of fortress enclave. The king will send his messengers to throw the sharp arrows of the word of God into the ear gates, and they will graphically portray the vision of judgmental hell before the eye gate, and the fearful flaming sword of righteous judgment will flash as the rightful king of man's soul comes and makes war at the gates of the rebel city. However, whenever a human soul chooses Jesus Christ as his God and King, and becomes a disciple of his love and decides to serve him, Then the forces evil under the command of the prince of darkness, even Satan, will surely come and make war at his gates. With every persuasive temptation of pleasure and amusement, they will swarm around the sense gates with the most persuasive and penetrating powers. The very first attack against the soul of man by the enemy forces of evil was in the Garden of Eden. There, Satan concentrated his devastating attack against the ear gate of Eve. And against that gate he came with his most subtle and powerful insinuations and plausible arguments. Following that, he directed his forces to attack the eye gate, showing her that the prohibited fruit was desirable and good to be eaten and would give delightful pleasure to her palate. And so diabolical and deceitful were his attacks that the city of man's soul was invaded and conquered, and man betrayed the kingdom of God into the hands of Satan and made him to be the prince of the kingdom of man. There were many gates in the walled city. There are many gates into the mind and soul of man beyond the gates of the five senses, gates such as reason and pride and pleasure, also gates of emotion, appetite, and strong desires, and also gates of will, love, and conscience. In the city of Jerusalem, there are also the dung gate, out of which all the offal and excrement of the city were hauled. Seems to me that often the favorite gate for the enemy to attack is at the dung gate of man's soul through television and many publications. Not a day passes that the enemy does not find some way to attack those gates. When a city descends into discouragement and despair, or when it rises into presumptuous arrogance, or contemptuous self-assurance, disdaining their enemies, the gates are usually unattended, as no one bothers to keep them closed. They are left open day and night, making an open invitation to the devil to walk through with impunity. Any wild beast can freely enter into that city and do any damage it pleases. Gates of Government. In the earliest days of the nation of Israel, the elders of the city sat in the gates. Later, when the kings were set over the nations and before palaces and thrones were built, the kings also established their seat of judgment in the principal gate of the city. In times of peace, the city gates functioned as a seat of government. There was established a seat of authority, of judgment, and of appeal. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses writes in chapter 21 and verse 19, "Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city." And in 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 8, we read, "Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told all the people, saying, 'There is a king sitting in the gate.' So all the people came before the king. To the city gate the people brought their problem, to the elders or to the king, and judgment was given. They did not have political elections in those days, but the elders, who by the lessons of many years of life had gained wisdom, gave judgment. When kings reigned, they also had their retinue of elders with them to assist in judgment. When the gates of judgment are destroyed, the people remain without strong government and will become a godless nation, unprotected from the forces of evil. In spite of their religiosity, without discipline and government, Israel became a rebellious and lawless nation." God sets up government, but evil always hates to be governed. A human being does not like to have his will frustrated by unpopular laws. He prefers to remain as lawless as convenient and defies laws whenever possible. In the book of Judges, chapter 21 and verse 25, we read, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Whenever government and authority breaks down, the city falls into anarchy and violence, and lawlessness rules over all. That was what caused God to renew the world in the days of Noah. It had come into such a stage of evil and violence that society had to be purged from itself. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6, in verses 5 to 7, we read that, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." I read an article in a recent news magazine. The title of the article was, "Our Troubled Teenagers." And the argument of the writer was that the parents bear the most responsibility. They have not put up walls nor restored the gates. They have not insisted on obedience to authority nor to government. And the sad result is lawless youth. They've been raised without walls of demarcation or gates of discipline and government. There is a country today that has a very low street crime rate. It is Japan. It is also a country that greatly respects authority. The children are raised to highly respect their parents and elders. They respect authority wherever it is operating. Police from many countries go there to find out why their crime rate is so low. Only until recently did they have any crime rate at all. And even today, a person can walk down the crowded streets of Tokyo at 2 o'clock in the morning, all alone, and be perfectly safe. God established government. He established it in the home, in the workplace, in society, in church. Gates must be established in any walled city, a city that plans to remain intact. Fallen man must yield to government, or the city will fall. When the walls are down and the gates burn with fire of lawlessness, that city is doomed. In many houses, I've seen little children defy their parents and get away with it. We had visitors in our home recently who made us feel very uncomfortable. They had a young son, not yet 5, a very intelligent child, but he would defy and argue over any order he was given by his parents. Authority was not there. Government was not there. The walls were broken down, and the gates burned with fire. Because there were no walls and the gates were not up, the child could run in and out upon any whim. When that boy becomes a teenager, his parents will cry, "I cannot understand what happened to my son." There must be strong, well-anchored gates set into the solid walls of well-chosen stones of discipline and order. There must also be provided vigilant watching over those gates at all times. Youth especially needs that strength, the strength that only walls and strong gates can provide. A daughter of a certain pastor was getting careless and breaking over the walls that had been built. Her father said to her one night, "Daughter, you've gone far enough. You've gone beyond the limits that I have set. I want to tell you something. If you do not come into those limits, I will give you an old-fashioned spanking." She was 16 years of age at that time and answered, "You wouldn't do that, Daddy." "Oh, yes, I would," he assured her. She did not believe him, so continued to go beyond the limits the walls had marked out for her. Not long after that, her daddy called her in and said, "All right, young lady, get ready. You're going to get a spanking."
"Do you mean that, Daddy?"
"I do mean it. Go get ready. Call me when you're ready." She went to her room. About an hour later, she called him in. He gave her a good spanking. She didn't cry until after he was gone. Then she soaked her pillow. The next morning, her mother heard her make call after call. She said, "Who is she calling?" So she picked up the phone to listen in. She was calling all her friends and telling them all about what had happened, and proudly ended with, "You see, my daddy loves me." She had strong walls and gates in her life and was glad of it, because she wasn't strong enough to build her own walls yet. Daddy put up some gates and put a lock on it and said, "That's it. That is your limit. That was a right working of government. Governments have been taken out of churches and out of homes and out of lives. And that means that the gates are burned with fire, wide open gates in the walls for the devil to go in and out at ease. One Sunday morning, I was visiting a little church in the beautiful Cascade Mountains of Oregon. That morning, a young man, 18 years of age, a freshman in college, gave this testimony that was so extraordinary. He said he had come home on a holiday visit and went out at night as he pleased. His mother would ask, "When are you going to be back?" "Oh, about 11:30, he would answer. But he would come back 2, 3, or 4 in the morning. She wasn't liking that at all. So this night she felt that God told her to get her gates closed, so she asked him what time he was going to be home, and he said, "About 11:30. She said, "I want you to give me a firm time and a firm promise." He said, "Oh, about 12. Is that a promise?" "Yeah, Mom." 12, he wasn't back. At 12:30, he wasn't back. At 1, he wasn't back. At 1:30, he wasn't back. Mom was on her knees. "God, what do you want me to do?" The only answer she could get was a word out of the book of Proverbs. She read it in Proverbs 19, verse 29. "Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools." He got home about 2:30 in the morning, he said, and was surprised to find his brother up waiting. "Mom, what are you doing up?" he asked. "I'm waiting for you." "What for?" "Because you gave me a promise, and you didn't keep it." "Oh, Mom, don't start that." "I will start that. You gave me a promise and said you would be back at 12, and you did not keep it." "Well, so what?" "I'll tell you what. Take off your shirt." "What for?" "Because I'm going to give you a licking."
"You're kidding, Mom."
"No, I'm not. God has told me what to do, and I'm going to do it. Take your shirt off." He said he couldn't believe her when he took his shirt off and she started giving it to him. His daddy woke up in the middle of it all and saw what was going on and got up and also gave him a good licking. That was Saturday night. Sunday morning, he was in church and gave this testimony and thanked God for parents that cared and loved him that much. God has set up a place for government, a place for judgment, a place where judgment is executed, a place where sin amongst people of God is judged. Deuteronomy 17, verses 2 to 5. "If there be found among you with any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God, in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either sun or moon, or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, inquire diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman, which has committed that wicked thing, unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone him there with stones till he die." Aspiring, hopeful, newly sprouting Jerusalem was without walls or gates. Weak and ever so vulnerable, that was enough to break the cupbearer's heart. Quite sufficient motive to move him into the greatest intercession of his whole life. The supreme reason Nehemiah cried out to God in heart-rending prayer for 4 months. We are vulnerable. We will never be a strong people. He realized it. We will never rebuild and be a nation unto God again so long as we remain without walls and gates. True, our temple is rising out of the rubble and fire is on the altar, but without protection of high walls and strong gates, it's just a matter of time till the next wild band of marauders come by and it's all over. Oh, that the high motive from the understanding heart of Nehemiah would provoke a great cry unto God for our nation and our homes. God, the walls are broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. God, give us a will to rebuild strong walls and repair the gates and set over them watchmen that the gates would open when they should open and close when they should close.